Attention HR professionals. Are you tired of dealing with poor performance from your managers? Are you sick of having managers run to you for every single little problem? Would you like to build the confidence and competence of your management team? If so, then contact Boss Builders. At Boss Builders, we specialize in building up the skills and confidence of your organization's managers. We do this through our popular Driving Results on-site training programs, our signature program, the Video-Driven Boss Builder Academy, and we even license our course materials so you and your internal training staff can get those managers confident and competent. For more information on how we can help you improve the performance of your organization's managers, contact us today at www.thebossbuilders.com or at 931-221-2988. Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the Boss Builder, Mac Monroe.
Alan Watts knew the secret to life is that there are no secrets to life. There's no answer, and there's no question. There's life. There's an infinite playground to explore. We're offered a window into this world, a body and a mind, and we have but one life to live. We have but love to give, so we dance, we play, we make intentional decisions about how we construct these visions. We create, get inventive, we share our perspective. We care without incentive. We connect, get twirled. We dissect this world. We dance to feel alive. We thrive when together. So get tethered and get swirled into novel combinations that rearrange our observations into brand new constellations, a new form of reality. We accept the plurality of interpretations, the ambiguity of our sensations, of our infinite iterations. We dance gracefully with the many ways in which our world is an illusion. And we take solace in the fusion of the stars, the knowledge that sent machines to Mars. In basic science, we make sense and rationality. We reason that reality is not cheating. It follows certain rules. And in that order, we connect. We share the same constraints and operate in shared space. We can look behind a face and see infinity. Wonder and divinity, meeting in a moment of this multiverse, we converse in true connection because we share a few atoms. You're not lost at sea, you're right here with me. Dropped on this crazy earth, you did not exist, then you were birthed. And damn, it's confusing, but I find quite amusing. And I love to share my musings. We share enough that we see each other. I beseech you to see me as your brother. Not just another, not another. We all revolve around the sun, our journey just begun. Divided, we are done. United, we are one. And that's a poem known as The Secret to Life by Derek Jones. And it seems like an odd way to start this episode of HR Oxygen, but I think it works. The title of this episode is Sales Skills for Non-Sales People. We're going to be meeting with Kim Frederick. Kim is a sales coach. She is the author of the book, Sales for Non-Sales People. And the reason we wanted her to come on HR Oxygen is that really, all of us, myself included, are salespeople. But each of you as HR professionals have got to learn how to maximize these skills. Kim's going to share the skills. And you're going to find that the key skill is going to revert back to this poem we just read. It's really about relationships and rapport. She's going to give you the scoop. She's going to give you the steps you really need to listen and also buy her book. So let's quit talking about Kim and let's talk to Kim. Let's meet our guest, Kim Frederick. Kim Frederick, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Mac.
I'm excited for today's topic, because it is a topic that as a business owner, I have to struggle with. It's about sales. But this is a little different than sales training or sales information. The topic is, what do HR professionals need to know about sales? And you're going to enlighten us with that. And I think what people are going to gain is a whole new perspective and some really good skills. So before we jump into the questions I have, I would like to know something about your background. Tell us what you do and tell us a little bit about your experiences getting you to where you are today.
Sure. So I teach sales skills to non-sales people. Those are the people that are talking to clients and potential clients and even potential employees who are not professional salespeople, who are not responsible for business development, and who are not responsible for bringing in new business. And yet, they all play a role in representing their company and, in fact, selling themselves and their ideas. And we will talk more about that. How did I get into this? I've been in sales and marketing for my entire career and realized that I didn't really like selling either. And it was only when I started to really connect sales to service and I understood how much was really about connecting with people that I really started to understand how I could help more people become more successful. And I created this business to do that.
All right. So let's talk about the audience now. The audience that generally speaking tunes into this podcast is the overworked, overwhelmed, overstressed, and underappreciated HR professional. So why do those people, why do those HR professionals need to know how to sell?
So I mentioned it already a little bit in the sense that we all need to sell. And what I mean by that is we all need to sell ourselves and our ideas. Where it particularly becomes important for HR and other non-revenue generating departments is that they need to be able to sell in order to be heard. It's very difficult to ask for more resource or more support when you're that department that everyone's like, yeah. You're not generating anything. You're just here because we need you to be here. And of course, they're underappreciated. And yet, so essential to the success of a business. So I like to think that we all need to sell and we need to sell to make ourselves heard. And again, for HR people in particular, it's becoming more and more important that they're able to sell their company as a great place to work. Because as you know, Mac, right now, it's really difficult to attract good talent. And in order to do that, sometimes that's the HR's department in terms of recruiting and bringing in good talent. The HR team needs to understand how to do that. And that's really selling.
Well, you know, one of the things that we run across a lot is the HR professionals who, in my mind, and I firmly believe this, they are probably the most valuable, not valued, but valuable resource in an organization. And yet, they're often not invited to the table. That's the sort of the conceptual place where the decision makers sit. HR doesn't get invited. And so they, generally speaking, don't seem to have power. In other words, when they tell you to do something, not everybody jumps and does it. They have to persuade people to do it. So how closely related is persuasion to selling?
Well, I want to just share with you and your listeners that before I answer that what was happening while you were saying that was I was nodding, because that's exactly right. HR is so critical to the function of an organization, but isn't heard and rarely is offered that seat at the table. And that is actually a problem in getting things done. So that leads into your question. It is related to selling. And I like to think of it, it's a little bit like parenting. So I'm sure some of your listeners are parents, some may not. But it becomes a little bit more of moving people to do things they may not want to do. Not selling them necessarily, but moving them. And that requires a lot of listening, a little bit of psychology, and some creativity. And that's actually what selling is. Humor doesn't hurt either. And that's something that's often in short supply in a corporate environment. But when you're asking somebody to do something or to behave in a certain way, and as you point out, you don't have a tremendous amount of power behind that request, you need to get really creative. And you need to ask questions and you need to listen and you need to approach it from the point of view of, this is what I want somebody to do. What's in it for them? And how can I approach it in a way that's going to make it beneficial to them and that gets it done?
And I like that too, because, you know, I've got your list of questions that we're going to go through today. And in the one that you'd given me, you even put the word selling in quotes. So I can't do quote, I can do air quotes, I guess, which looks kind of weird. So selling is in air quotes. What do you mean by that?
Well, I put that in quotes a lot, air quotes too, because the perception of sales and selling is so negative. We, many people who are not involved in the profession, and even those who are, still believe that it's about making people buy things they don't need or selling them on something that's really not appropriate and is not the right thing. And it's not about that. It's really about, as I said, about moving people and about solving problems. And so I often put it in air quotes too, because so many people immediately jump to, well, I'm not a salesperson and I'm not going to sell anybody anything. And no, you're not really. But what you are doing is moving people to change behavior or perhaps to take an alternative course or maybe even to influence their thinking. That's really a form of selling.
Okay. Well, you've written a book and the book is entitled, If You Can Have a Conversation, You Can Sell. All right. Is that just a catchy title or is it really as simple as that?
I really believe it's as simple as that. And I wrote that book because too many people think that sales is a five-step process or this eight-stage this, and I must qualify and handle objections and do all these complicated things and make sure I use the right phrasing. And that's all really complicated. And it isn't as complicated as that. It really is having a conversation with some structure and connecting to service. So the reason I titled the book that is because pretty much everybody can have a conversation. I understand that that's happening. It's becoming more difficult for people to have conversations and that our younger generations are finding face-to-face conversations in particular more difficult. And that's an interesting thing that I don't have enough knowledge to speak about. However, most people can successfully have a conversation with, you know, their partner or a coworker or a friend, right? So if you can feel comfortable having that sort of conversation, you apply the same principles to having a sales conversation. It just requires a little more thought and a little more preparation, which if you were honest with yourself, if you were preparing to have a difficult personal conversation, you would be doing anyway, right?
Yeah.
So when you connect the idea that having a conversation and helping somebody by providing some sort of a service, then that becomes really not all that difficult.
Well, let's unpack the conversation a little bit now, because that sounds like this is where it's all going to happen. So it's an exchange of messages. And it's people talking and people listening, but you talk a lot about asking questions. So are questions important?
Absolutely. This is, to me, the absolute cornerstone of any communication. And a lot of people are fond of that expression. We have two ears and one mouth, and that's because we're supposed to listen more than we talk. I'm sure we've all heard that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't actually do that in practice. What most people do, and most people are very, very happy to just talk and carry on talking, and they may ask a few questions, but what's not happening often is listening. And this is where the really critical piece comes in. You, in a sales conversation or any conversation where you need to move somebody, it's really important to ask the right sort of questions, and this is where you need to have prepared ahead and thought a little bit about what is it the other person is likely to want, and how could you maybe direct them in that direction through your questions. And then you need to listen. And when I talk about listening in conversations, and we're laughing about our air quotes around selling, when I talk about listening, that's all in capitals, because the listening piece is so critical. What you're listening for is the actual words your person is answering your question with. You're also listening for what they're not saying, because when you can do that, then you suddenly start to pick up more about what that person's motivations are, perhaps what their fears might be, maybe even a little bit about things that they haven't even identified and recognized themselves. And when you can ask questions that really get to the heart of the matter, whatever that matter might be, and you can really listen to the answers, that's when you get real connection. And that's when you can then start to move people.
All right, Kim. So we're talking about conversations, and you continue to go back to this as something that we need to do as a conversation. So in the conversation, I'm guessing questions will be important. So even though I know that you're not a fan of the framework of five steps or whatever, are there some really good questions that we could use? Is there anything that you could kind of help us with?
So yes, there are, but has to be a but here. It really is going to depend on the nature of the conversation and who you are speaking to. And so what I like to talk about in the programs when I work with people and when I teach workshops, we talk a lot about compelling questions. And compelling questions are those that you ask to really make the other person think about what it is that is causing them an issue or is standing in their way or something like that. But then they're thinking about that and they're answering in such a way that it helps you to move closer to what you need to know or need them to do. And that's why it's really important that you plan ahead and prepare those questions. So what I like to teach people who are in a position where they may be able to impact organic growth or move people or persuade people, whatever that position may be, is that they have three or four of these questions that are appropriate for their job role, for their organization, and for them personally, because they have to sound genuine. They have those in their back pocket that they are able to pull out and use with very little change. You know, every situation will be a little different and you will need to adapt, but you want to have a few things that you know you can ask. And you'd asked me a little bit more about a framework. So again, we're all familiar with this idea of in a sales situation, someone being handed a sales script. I need to follow this script. Unfortunately, in the real world, people don't stay on script. And if that's all you've been given and you've never put your own thought into how to use it, then you're stuck, really, really stuck. So what I prefer to do is to have people think about the kinds of questions that would be appropriate and would lead to where they want to go. And then I give them a little bit of a framework. And the framework is simple. You want to start with rapport. This is really important. Whenever you're having a conversation with anybody, whatever that conversation might be, first you need to connect with that person. And you want to catch up, for example, on how the sports team is doing. Or maybe you're going to talk about the weather because you've just experienced some tremendously wet, rainy, thunderstormy period. Who knows? Whatever, there's flooding going on. You know, whatever it is, you're looking for points where you can connect on something shared. Then you want to review. You want to clarify what you already know about this person or his or her situation. Then you want to look at what are the issues and the goals? Where is this person wanting to go? What are the obstacles that are in the way? Remember, you're doing this through your carefully prepared questions. And then, only then, do you start to look at how you can get into solving a problem. And that's usually works best when you do that in conjunction with whomever it is you're speaking to.
Well, I like rapport. I guess I think about, so going back to kind of a classic sales interaction, you go to the car dealership and out runs the salesperson. And the first question they'll ask is, so how are you folks doing today?
Right.
And already I'm on the defense because I know the only reason you're out there is you want to make some money on me. I'm not feeling the genuine rapport. But I think
exactly.
we go into that expecting that. Your sales, not script, but maybe framework here is different, isn't it? We're not selling a product. I'm guessing we're trying to give somebody something to make their lives a whole lot easier. Theoretically, exactly. This should not be a hard sale, right?
That's exactly right. What this is about solving problems. Because, you know, here's the thing, and I say this a lot too. The reality is that the world works on sales. People come up with ideas, products, and services to solve problems. And really, that's what business is, isn't it? You think about it. Mm-hmm. We're all solving problems in some small way or big way or even massive way. And in order to solve a problem, there needs to be some kind of a transaction. You have a problem. I can help you solve that problem. There's a transaction. Most often, that transaction is a sale that involves an exchange of money, but not always. Like when we think about your overworked HR professionals, that transaction may not involve any money, but they're helping solve a problem. And that problem might be recruiting a crack new management team member, or it might be making sure that everybody in the organization is submitting timesheets on time. You know, whatever the problem is, having a conversation about selling is about solving that problem, getting rid of obstacles and making it easier. So yes, you're right. It's not about being pushed into buying a product you don't need.
Well, then let's move from the products, because we already have, and let's think about selling in a different direction now. So if a person, and I'm thinking this could be twofold in an organization, if you're an HR professional that wants the seat at the table, which in a sense means you're going to be listened to by upper management, or you actually want to move into upper management, will sales skills help you here?
100%. 100%. In both of those situations that you just described, you need people to get behind you. And that is a classic case of selling yourself and your ideas. So how do you do that? You're not going to be having little conversations with everybody individually. You might, in some cases, that might be appropriate, but you're really having a larger conversation with a larger group. And again, though, the idea behind this is the same. What is the problem that you can help solve? And what can you say or bring that's going to make things better for other people? So when you start thinking that way and you start presenting yourself and your ideas that way, management is going to listen to you a whole lot more. And then when you, and then also the other piece to it, often, not always, but in many organizations, there is an expectation that as you reach those higher levels of management, particularly the C-suite, that you are involved in some way in business building. And that's sales. So if you're going to be required to be out there networking and selling, and I put that in air quotes, selling your company, you need to feel comfortable with that concept and maybe have some of these skills in your back pocket so that you can do it successfully.
And now let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. Attention HR professionals and conference planners. Are you looking for a great speaker for your upcoming meetings or conference? Better contact Mac. Do you need someone who can relate to your audience and deliver a top-notch presentation? Better contact Mac. Are you trying to find a speaker who can both educate and entertain? Better contact Mac. Mac Monroe, the Boss Builder, is a sought-after keynote speaker and presenter who would love to present at your next meeting. His most popular topics are how to be a great boss for audiences of managers and executives, how to gain a seat at the table for HR professionals, and how to avoid ending up for all employees. Mac is a phenomenal storyteller, and his talks are lively, entertaining, and loaded with actionable strategies that will enable your attendees to make immediate positive changes. To get more information and book Mac to speak at your next conference or meeting, go online to bettercontactmac.com or call us at 931-221-2988. And now, back to the show.
Well, you've given us tools and you've identified the skills. Is there a certain kind of person that would actually make a good salesperson?
Yes, there is. And it is not what most people think. You know, everybody thinks that a salesperson, and you actually brought it up too. The classic is the used car salesman, right? Mm-hmm. The man in the bad suit, he talks a lot and he talks fast and he doesn't really listen to what you had to say. And, you know, there is this perception along with the fact that sales is nasty and making you buy things you don't want. We all think that way. And it goes along with that person. And it turns out it's the opposite. And there is actually research to back this up. People that tend to be a little bit quieter, often introverted, but not always, people who are very good listeners are usually more successful at sales, whatever that sales looks like. And that's because they're able to do what we've been talking about today. They are able to ask questions and listen. And even more importantly, they're very good at observing. They don't like attention on themselves. And so they're much more, they're much happier sitting back and watching and listening. And then they're able to ask the kinds of questions that are really impactful. And so the research that shows this that is so interesting is a company called Gong that does research into sales calls. And what they found after they analyzed something like 40,000 sales calls was that the talk to listen ratio in more successful sales calls, the ones that actually resulted in a sale, was much, much lower than in the ones that were less successful.
Wow. So there's hope for the majority of us, right? Because it seems to me there's only a small fraction of people. I mean, I can tell you, so our director of business development, he's just a phenomenal guy, the most nicest guy on the phone. But I asked him when we were kind of thinking about working together, I said, when you know you have to make a really tough cold call, what do you think of when you see the phone? He's like, I just can't wait to pick it up. It's a rush. I thought, man, you are a sick man, but you got the job, right?
No, actually, he's not a sick man, Mac, not at all. I'm a little bit the same way. And it's because he and I probably share this, that we are both really enthusiastic and 100% behind what we are selling. And we really, truly believe that we can help people. And when you're motivated by that, getting on the phone is not hard. And I say that I can only do it on sunny days. If it's a really, when I make cold calls and it's a really nasty gray day outside, I'll be honest, I find that difficult. I do enjoy the connection with people though, and he probably does too. So I'll admit, and what I told you earlier about the traits that generally make people better at sales, those are very big generalizations. Of course, there are extroverted, fast-talking people who can be successful. And of course, there are quieter, introverted people who are excellent listeners who aren't going to be good at sales. The vast majority of people can learn how, though. And where I was going with this is that, something about, and when you get talking with somebody and you can really help them, then that feels good.
Yeah, I guess it's just making that first step and reaching for the phone, right?
It is. But again, if you know that you can really legitimately help someone, and here, let's be honest, our HR professionals are unlikely to be making cold calls.
That's true.
They're going to be having warm conversations with people or organizations that they already know, right? And so right away, you've removed that cold element. You've had them, hopefully after listening to this, hopefully they've thought a little bit about what they want to ask and what is the motivation and the obstacles and the things in the way for the other party and how can they help them?
Well, we've looked at really, I guess, three areas. So we're going to make an assumption if you are in the sales department of an organization, you need sales skills. We also have said that to move up, you need sales skills. And we also know HR people definitely could benefit. So who else in an organization might benefit from these type of sales skills? And that whole thing's got air quotes on it.
Right, because again, we've defined in this conversation today that selling is not what most people think it is. I very firmly believe that anybody who talks to clients or customers or potential clients or customers is really a salesperson. You are an ambassador for your organization, and every interaction that you have with a potential client or a client is one more piece in that relationship, that sales relationship. I don't know if your listeners are familiar with the idea of a customer journey, but I put it to you this way. If you call yourself an organization because you need to purchase something from them or you need help from that organization, and if that person who answers the phone is friendly and warm and helpful, how are you going to feel?
Yeah, it'll transfer to you, won't it?
Exactly. And if you call an organization and it takes you 5 minutes to figure out their automated voicemail, and you finally get through to someone who doesn't really seem like they're interested in talking to you, and you just need to ask a question to help you in your day-to-day life, your experience is a whole lot less positive. I mean, like, we can even go so far as to say that's a negative experience. So my point is, anybody who is potentially coming in contact with a customer or client is really a salesperson as a representative of their company.
Well, your book is entitled, If You Can Have a Conversation, You Can Sell. Maybe a follow-on could be, if you have a pulse, you should sell, right?
Maybe. Yes. I should maybe get started on that right away.
Feel free. You can have the title. I think it's important because, again, you know, in our experience, when we do interact with the HR professionals, and as you know, the date of this particular interview is, we just wrapped up a couple of conferences. And again, I tend to see them, the HR professionals, when they're away from work. And occasionally, if I'm having dinner in the hotel restaurant, you might be sitting next to a table full of them that have had a glass of wine or two. And you begin to hear some of the struggles. And I will tell you, if you're listening to this and you are not an HR professional, hey, the struggle's real. So cut these people some slack. But if you are that HR professional, this is where I think you now have some really good information that will help you take some ownership of this situation and go ahead and get yourself up to that table where you belong. So Kim, how can my audience reach out to you for help in this area? How can they get a copy of your book? Let us know how to reach you.
Perfect. Thanks, Mac. So my book should be available next week. So the end of September, because I'm not sure when this will be aired. End of September on Amazon. It is called If You Can Have a Conversation, You Can Sell. And you can reach out to me directly. And I'm always happy to talk to people. Obviously, that's one of the things I like to do. I love making these connections where I can help people. My website is kimfrederick.com, and I'll spell that because it is unusual. Kim, and it's Frederick, FREDRICH.com. You'll find information there about the workshops that I do. And I'm just also launching a new program for individuals who are or have identified that they need sales skills in order to advance in their careers. That's called the Sales Confidence Program. And you can find details of that at kimfrederick.com/sales confidence. Now, that's something else that's new, and I'm very excited to be able to bring that out to individuals who know they need this background and these skills, but are in many ways terrified. So I'm hoping to help people get over that.
Well, that's great. Well, Kim, thank you so much for spending time with us today and for all the great information and for giving us a new perspective on, and here come the air quotes again, the sales. This has been really great. We really appreciate you.
I may have to trademark that, Mac, the sales quotes, the air quotes around sales. I also really appreciate your time, Mac. It's been great to talk to an audience again that most people don't think of as salespeople, but hopefully after today's conversation, more people will understand the role they play in having an impact and how they can make themselves more successful at having that impact.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.